Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. Job 36:11. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Job 36:11. And Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Genesis chapter 17, verse 17. Our purpose for being here today, as always, is to open our hearts and minds to the communication, dissemination of God's Word. The Word of God is, as we've just quoted, alive and powerful. How fantastic it is to know that you and I are able to receive the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. See as He sees, which is seeing from a vertical, divine vantage point. God's plan is for us to see as He sees. And we'll never see as He sees if we do not have our minds captivated and saturated with the truth of God's Word. And that's why we study the way we do. May we bow for a moment of prayer before we begin. Father, we're thankful again for Your grace and love and blessings. And today we're here because of Your faithfulness. We realize how wonderful it is to know that You're always there, that You give to us what we need. Many times it's not exactly what we expect. Sometimes it's not even what we desire. But we know that You know what is always best for us. And we're thankful for that scripture that says we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. And so we ask that You will guide us today in these moments of study, that we will have a desire to receive and then a desire to utilize what we have. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Genesis 17:17, we have this magnificent passage of Scripture which says, Abraham fell on his face and laughed. And he said in his heart, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And then when we go over to the next chapter, in chapter 18, verse 12, Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I'm old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah shall have a son. The scripture has a lot to say about laughter. And we already emphasized the fact that there's laughter on the part of Abram and there's laughter on the part of Sarai, or Abraham and Sarah. What's unique to me is that there are many verses of scripture that deals with the subject of laughter. I do not want to take the time to give you all of the references, but I want to give you a little series of verses that you might want to write, copy, so that you can have some scriptural references related to the subject of laughter. In Proverbs 17:22, it says, A merry heart, a joyful heart, is good like medicine. But a crushed spirit dries up the bones. That's Proverbs 17:22, a joyful heart. Psalm 126 verse 2 says, "Then our mouth was filled with laughter, our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them." Isn't it interesting to see that our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy? Psalm 126, 2. In Job chapter 8, in verse 21, "He will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouting." That's Job chapter 8, verse 21. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4, it says that there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A beautiful passage of Scripture, Ecclesiastes 3, 4. If you don't know how to spell Ecclesiastes, don't worry about that. Just write capital E-C-C, period. And that way you can look it up for yourself. Ecclesiastes 3, 4. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 4, "He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision." That's interesting also to let us know that the Lord has the ability to laugh. Psalm 2, 4. Proverbs 15, 13. "A glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is crushed." A glad heart makes a cheerful face. Proverbs 15, 13. Psalm 32, verse 11. "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous ones. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart." I like that one, Psalm 32, 11. "Be glad in the Lord." Did you notice where to be glad? Be glad in the Lord. "And rejoice, O righteous ones. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart." Psalm 32, 11. Genesis 21, 6. "And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me." Genesis 21, 6. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 13. "Even in laughter the heart may ache, and the end of joy may be grief." Do you see what that is saying? Proverbs 14, 13. "Even in times when we're laughing, our heart may be aching." And we understand what that means. Psalm 16, verse 11. "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Psalm 16, verse 11. "You make known to me the path of life. And in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." That's Psalm 16, verse 11. Let me give you two more verses. Psalm 4, verse 7. "You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and their wine abound." In other words, what that is saying is, you can have a lot of the material things of the world and still be very unhappy. Or you can have a small amount of the material things of life and have tremendous happiness. Or you can have nothing and have something. Or you can have something and have nothing. Now you have to really think about what I just said. And then our verse of Scripture now is Genesis 17, 17. "Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a son?" If you remember, we were giving you some points in the last session. I gave you about five, and so I'm going to review those for a moment and let you write them down if you didn't get them, and let you just do it if you already have it. In Genesis 17:17 and following, number one, God's Word is in the life of Abram. And God's Word in his life became more real to him than the daily problems that he had. God's Word must be more real to us than the problems that we have in life. Secondly, Abram learned not to be perplexed. He learned not to be worried. He learned not to be afraid. That's a good thing for us to learn. Life is filled with many ups and downs. There are many things that will disturb us in life. And yet we must learn not to be perplexed and worried and afraid. Number three, it really dawned on Abram that God could do anything. And he understood that God could do anything at any time he wanted to. I like that. Sometimes God does things at a time when we particularly don't desire it to be done. And sometimes he's not doing things for us that we want him to do at the time we want him to do it. Now I know that's very, very profound. And I want you to hear what I just said. There are times when we want things to happen and they don't happen the way we want them to happen, and we somehow may even wonder if God's not listening. But what we need to know is that God does listen. And God knows everything. In fact, He knows every thought that you have, and He knows every word that you say. He knows even the number of hair you have on your head. He knows everything. And He certainly would hear us when we pray. But when we pray, He answers those prayers. Sometimes He says no. Sometimes He says yes. And sometimes He says wait a while. And whatever He says, we ought to just go along with Him and say, okay, it's not like I thought it was going to be, but it's going to probably turn out better than I thought it could ever be. And I've seen this, and you have too. He began to understand the difference, number four, between God's character and God's identification. When God said, I am God Almighty, walk before me, continue to maintain spiritual balance, it was then that Abram was able to see that there's a difference between just stating the name God and understanding what God's character is all about. I may know you by name, but I may not know your character. You may know me by name, but it's another thing to know me by character. And so it's all right for us to say God, but it's another thing for us to understand who God really is, what He's done, what He's doing, what He will do, as we study and see what He's saying in His Word to us. Number five, Abram took his eyes off of himself. He took his eyes off of his problems. He took his eyes off of man-made solutions. And he focused his attention upon the source. Now, you're going to be ready for this. It's a good thing we stopped when we did a few moments ago, because my number six is an interesting point indeed. I believe we could say that at this point, Abram had been cleansed. He had been washed. But sometimes after people have been cleansed and washed, they still are not ready for the boiling situation. And what I'm getting at is, if you go to Genesis chapter 22, you will get away from the cleansing, you'll get away from the washing, and you'll get into the boiling situation. Some of you right now, immediately that chapter registers with you. It's the chapter that deals with God saying, I want you to offer up your son Isaac on an altar. Now, just my saying that, you don't have to turn. I want you to see that that's the boiling situation. He's made it through the cleansing. He's made it through the washing. But is he now ready for the boiling experience? The boiling experience is that here's a son whom he loves. And God is saying, I want you to take this son. I want you to build an altar. I want you to take out a knife, a slaughtering knife. And I want you to cut your son's throat on this altar. Do it. That's a boiling experience. He took his eyes off of himself, point five. He took his eyes off of his problems, point five. He took his eyes off of man-made solutions, point five. He's got his eyes focused on the Lord, the source. Number six, you could say that he was washed clean with the Word. And he's now ready to face the boiling situation of Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to hold that because we're not there yet. I just wanted to mention it where you'd know what Genesis 22 is all about. Number seven. Both he and Sarah are blessed. She's no longer a nag. He now has a loving spiritual companion. He is now the spiritual leader. It was the truth of God that had changed both of them. It is the truth of God that changes us. It is either truth or evil that will make a change in your life and mine. Do you hear that? It's either truth or evil that will make a change in your life or mine. Could I remind you what evil is? Evil is satanic thinking. Evil is the genius of the devil. There are only two types of thinking, divine and satanic. If we don't have the divine, we will have the satanic. If we have the satanic that captivates and saturates us, we're not going to have the divine. So we discover, though, when we look at Sarah and Abraham, she's no longer a nag. He's now a loving spiritual leader. And it was the truth of God that had changed both of them. And it is the truth of God that will change us and cause us to see things differently. I'm here to tell you that you're not going to have the thinking of God if you're not consistent in receiving the mind of God. That's the reason why I would love to be able to get all of you together every day and study and teach God's Word. We're living in a time when it is, I guess, humanly impossible to do that. But when I look over the three sessions that we have, two on Sunday and one on Wednesday night, and I look at the opportunities that we need to have for the mind of Jesus Christ, I see how weak we can be unless we are studying diligently on a daily basis ourselves. Number eight, Sarah will have a son. It's revealed in Genesis 17:16 and Genesis 17:19. Let me say something about Sarah. I believe she's a beautiful lady. But I believe that when things changed in her heart, mind, and soul, that she became even more beautiful. Now, I don't know about this, but I believe, you take this for whatever it's worth to you, that her youthful skin and her youthful vigor came back. All right. I'm sure some of you are saying, preacher, you're carrying that a little too far. I mean, here she is, 90 years of age, pregnant. Oh, Daddy. Oh, Daddy. 99 will be 100 when the baby is born. Oh, Daddy. That's the reason why I decided I'd call this second service Daddy at 100. You've got to think about that, folks, for that sermon title to really get you. Daddy. I should have put, oh, Daddy. I was trying to honor John by receiving a plaque, and I said he received a plague. It's all the secretary's fault. She doesn't know how to spell plague and plaque. But it goes back to the pastor who doesn't know how to spell plague and plaque. That's all right, Kristen. You did good. Just put down what I put there and they'll laugh about it. They'll know where it came from. Number 8. Sarah will have a son. She will be even more beautiful. Her youthful skin and her youthful vigor will prevail. There was a lot more than just a name change. I believe that the inner beauty will work its way out. And I believe on you and me that the inner beauty will work its way out. I'm always amazed at what I look at when I stand at this point before this auditorium and this group of people. This morning there came in an elderly man. And I shouldn't say elderly, he's probably younger than me, but it's all right. And his wife. And my mind got to going while I was preaching. I mean, I can think of more than one thing at a time. And I got to thinking, who is that? What's he doing here? Maybe he's on a pulpit committee. That's a joke, folks. Oh, I just thought of that. That's, man, you talk about laughter. That is laughter.
Oh, Daddy.
Oh, Daddy. Oh, me. And I thought, now, is he going to leave this service without me knowing who he is and where he came from? And lo and behold, he came up and visited me. He's a doctor here in town. He's a Dr. Biles. He's a pastor of a church here in town and a Baptist church here in town. His wife is the chaplain of a prison ministry over in Dayton. And it's interesting to me. And I said, how did I know you? Well, you know, he said, well, many, many years ago. Now, this has to be more than 37 years ago. Many, many years ago, you were on a committee with me, a Baptist committee that we had in the Galveston area. Now, he didn't look familiar, but he looked kind of familiar. And the thought that came to me was, he's one of my old preacher buddies that he and I went to school years and years and years ago. And I don't know who he is, but I'd like to find out. All I'm telling you is, time moves on. Things change. And I think in terms of what happened to Sarah, she became more beautiful. Now my question is, what happened to Abraham? What happened to this guy that is getting old along with me? What I believe happened to Abraham and what I believe happened to Sarai was that the inner beauty began to manifest itself and work its way to the outside. I believe that's true of all of us. Number 9, the promise to Abraham will be reaffirmed. Genesis 17:16-21. I believe some things will take place in his life. I believe that his body will be strong. I believe that his muscle tone will be revived. I believe that his manhood will be revitalized. But most of all, I believe his capacity for life will flourish. All because of maintaining spiritual momentum. That doesn't mean that you and I are not going to grow old. It doesn't mean that you and I will not get to a point sometimes when we may be feeble. But I'll tell you one thing for sure. The inner beauty of God's grace can be manifested as we live and get older and older. Number 10, the last point. capacity manifested in laughter. The verb reveals something here when it says that he got on his knees, fell on his face, and laughed. In the Hebrew language, it says he kept on laughing. He didn't just chuckle one time. He kept on laughing. Now, I want to ask you a question. Think with me. What kind of a laughter is this? I believe it's a laughter of a relaxed response to God. I also believe that it is a laughter of relief. I believe that it is an expression of a good sense of humor of this man who had a relaxed mental attitude. It was humorous for him to see himself at 99 and will be 100 when the baby, Isaac, laughter, is born. You know what I believe? And I want you to think with me about this. I believe that if he hadn't have laughed, he would have exploded. Now, I know that's putting it rather humorously. I believe that there was something in him that was just building up. And God gave him an escape valve so he could laugh. We've had that, haven't we? There have been times when we wanted to cry and we laughed. There have been times when we were full of sorrow and weighted down and we laughed. And as I said in the other service, I've been to a lot of memorial services where the minister would tell things about the individual and the congregation would laugh. Why? They'd been crying, grieving, which is normal. But then there's an explosion, the valve. I believe that he would have exploded had he not laughed when this all took place. And then I want you to go over to the 18th chapter and let's read it again. Now Abraham and Sarah were old. Verse 11. They were advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. And Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have come to the point of being old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also, my husband being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I indeed bear a child when I am old?'" Verse 14 is one you need to underline. "Is anything too difficult for the Lord?" Oh, Daddy. At 100, is anything too difficult for the Lord? Now, some of you are saying, "Well, I'm not going to be 100, and I'm not going to have a baby, and I'm not going to be 90, and all that." What we're learning here is there's not anything that is too difficult for the Lord. Amen. And we will leave this service today realizing that there's not anything too difficult for the Lord. Whatever it is. He may say yes to our prayers. He may say no to our prayers. He may say, "I certainly am hearing you, and I'm going to answer you, but right now, if I did what you're asking, it would be your detriment. So I'm going to ask you kindly to wait a while. But I know what's best for you." And Romans 8:28 says, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose." I'm saying this to you because in the coming weeks and months and years, each person in this auditorium will face an experience like which Johnny is going through it at this moment. There will be a time of difficulty, a burden, a heartache, a trial, a test, the death of a loved one. And you'll be reminded of what the preacher said. The scripture says, we know that all things work together for good. Not to everyone, but to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank You for this day, the challenge of Your wonderful Word, the opportunity which we have to focus our minds away from the things and the distractions of the world, and focus our minds upon the One who is the giver of life and the blesser of life, the source of all that we enjoy in life. May we realize how wonderful it is to turn our attention away from anything and everything and focus our minds upon the One who said, I'm with you, I'm not going to leave you, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to be with you all the way, even unto the very end. For those who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we pray that they will do that this day, realizing that Jesus is the only way of salvation. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by Him. So we pray that there will be those who will trust You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.